He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on this table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this live broadcast. It's Monday, the 16th of October, 2023. My name is David Stovenel. My effort is called Operation Restore Christian America. Today's broadcast is titled The Gospel of John, Chapter 14. I begin where I left off 2 weeks ago, at the end of Chapter 13, as the result of context. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. For these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And that completes chapter 14 of the Gospel of John in the authorized King James Version, which is, incidentally, the only version in the English language that is not spurious and falsified. So read from the authorized King James Version if you read and write and speak English, so that you come to a knowledge of the truth. Anyway, chapter 14 is completed. Now, in chapter 14, we read of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Now, do you know, ladies and gentlemen, and I implore all of you and youngsters, to study this issue. There's one sin that is unforgivable. The sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So I'm not going to do any of your homework for you, but get the definition of the word blasphemy, study it carefully, pray yourself up so you're in the Spirit, and study about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and then start exploring that issue. For example, There is a people group that says, that declares in their writings that they will be their own gods Is that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Are those people unrepentant sinners that need Jesus Christ? They need to see the depth of the darkness of their sinful lives and their sinful attitudes and repent from that sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility as a broken man that has realized the depth of his own depravity? I'm just asking the question and convincing you that it is it has merit to ask serious questions like that and then study out the issue, study it thoroughly, and draw your own conclusion from the scriptures, from the authorized King James Version in the English language. And for those of you that read and write and study in other languages, study out the issue as thoroughly and come to your own conclusions as well, going to the legitimate, not spurious versions of the translations into your language. Now, my website is genuinechristianitynow.com. There is an article on the website called A Message to Israel. Now, it was posted 2 days ago, so it's easy to locate. And at the top is a brief YouTube that describes some concerns and problems about the events that are transpiring in the area called Israel now. I'm not able to play that right now because that wasn't set up in time to do so by Showtime today. But if you go to my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, that YouTube is at the top of the article, and here's the comment that was emailed to me regarding this. And I know this is a little disjointed, but it will make sense when I get through this brief article. And the article is the Israel-Palestine, A Message to Israel. Thanks for this one, titled A Message to Israel. There is some merit in what the narrator says about the Illuminati and Freemasonry. However, in my opinion, unless you have a good understanding of the Bible, and by that I mean the KJV Bible in English, or in other languages, Bibles translated from the Ben Chaim Hebrew text and Textus Receptus Greek text, it is impossible to see or appreciate what is really taking place. So in my view, he really doesn't know what he is talking about in relation to the Jews, Israel, and the Palestinians. Over 23 years ago, in 2000, I published a book, my first of 23, Gladiator, a masterpiece of Nazi propaganda, Who Will Rule the New World Order, later republished by the late Tex Mars of Rivercrest Publishing in 2001 in the U.S. as Gladiator, Witchcraft, Propaganda, and the Rise of the World Hero. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, as a digression, this was at the time that the movie Gladiator was out and in circulation. While I will give Tex Mars a huge amount of credit for courageously republishing the book that no other publisher in the world would touch, I was sadly disappointed that he cut and edited out the entire subsection I wrote titled Israel or Palestine, from the Bible prophecies, meticulously predicting the current events now commencing between Israel and Palestine, predicting what finally is going to radically happen soon, leading up to the crowning of Antichrist, the introduction of the Mark of the Beast, the reorganization of Europe and the world prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the 3.5 years of the Day of Wrath, Jewish Day of Atonement, culminating with the battle at Armageddon. So far, what I have written has been fulfilled to the letter. If both professing Jews and Christians knew their Bibles better, there would not be so many people like Tex Mars and others who do not appreciate how meticulous God has been in telling us all in advance what is soon to happen between Israel and Palestine, how God has brought his people back from the diaspora, largely in a state of unbelief, to deal with them and eventually build Ezekiel's millennium temple in Jerusalem, and through their new priesthood and ruling prince, lead the world for 1,000 years. As it turns out, I found an old copy of my original book on the internet that someone, I don't know who, has graciously retyped and posted on the internet with the original section, Israel or Palestine, still in it. Unfortunately, the formatting is not the best compared to the original manuscript, but you still get the message. Here it is. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there is an attachment or a link to the book, Gladiator, a Masterpiece of Nazi Propaganda. And once again, just as a reminder, this is located on my website within this missive under the title, A Message to Israel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. For those of you that want to get into serious study, but you have to put on your Holy Spirit thinking cap first. Pray yourself up, or none of this will make sense to you. Even the great people that view themselves as being the most foremost biblical scholars in the world today. If you have plenty of time, read the whole chapter, chapter 9, Hero Pontifex Maximus. If not, scroll down to page 47, Israel or Palestine, to the end of the chapter. You might also find it interesting to read what I have predicted is soon going to happen to Europe as well. Bear in mind, I wrote most of this over 30 years ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this certainly is an interesting topic of conversation now that there is another event between the Palestinians and the Israelis being back at kinetic warfare, another battle that has begun one after the other over there throughout our entire lifetimes. Anyway, the call-in number is 608-433-9306 for any of you people that are Bible students and are serious and do want to learn more about the prophets and their prophecies and God's word and where it fits into our time and in our lives. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the here and now is not the there and then. They were prophets that God put in place to put in writing what we would be experiencing. So we're in the here and now, and it behooves all of us to learn exactly what reality is. Anyway, I'm going to read from Gladiator, a Masterpiece of Nazi Propaganda, at the area that the author of this article or this book wrote and the article as well. St. George, earth worker and farmer, Maximus. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's at 1 Corinthians 15:45 and 47. Lord is removed in many corrupt modern Bibles. Wonder why? St. George, the patron and founder of the Order of the Garter. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a British Freemasonry order, wherein the sovereign's title is Arch-Treasurer of the Holy Roman Empire. And just one more slight digression. The sovereign is, the earthly sovereign is King Charles. Wherein the sovereign's title is Arch-Treasurer of the Holy Roman Empire, who wears a gold collar about the neck of a specified weight, 30 ounces, Troy. This, they say, is in memory of the 30 pieces of silver for which Joseph was sold. The truth is, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot, the treasurer of the Lord's ministry and one of his very own disciples, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and so will the apostate sovereign of the world church. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's at Mark Chapter 8, verses 36 to 37. Charles, Philip, Arthur, George, Mountbatten, Windsor. Charles, the man who knew Jesus. British author John Dale in The Prince and the Paranormal, The Psychic Bloodline of the Royal Family, Chapter 8, describes how Prince Charles is a devout spiritualist, a person who claims direct communication with the dead. Dale documents how Prince Charles is an avid follower of London spiritualist Ted Fricker's book, God is My Witness. This is what Fricker claims in his book. I was once a little boy in the Holy Land at the time of Christ. I had later been trained in heaven before being sent back to earth via Tottenham to conduct a healing mission. It's not the first time I've been here. I used to run after Jesus, touching his clothing because I loved him so much. That's why God sent me back to earth as a miracle worker, just like Christ. According to John Dale, Prince Charles believes this book to the letter. Many of Fricker's claims are embodied in the spiritualistic film E.T., The Extraterrestrial, 1982, directed by Steven Spielberg, is about an alien, E.T., who becomes stranded on Earth 3 million light years from home. During his sojourn on Earth, E.T. miraculously forms a special bond with a boy named Elliot, an allusion to Elijah in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. the spirit of the alien enters the little boy before E.T. dies. Then E.T. miraculously comes alive and returns home. The whole story is a satanic counterfeit of the prophesied second coming of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, John saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, beast, and false prophet. Like many aliens, E.T. both looks and croaks like a frog. E.T. represents the devil and Elliot, Antichrist. On June 20th, 1997, the New Zealand TV Guide, page 119, published the following statement. Steven Spielberg has framed a handwritten note from Prince Charles, which thanks the director for all the enjoyment the royal family had derived from E.T. Apparently, they've watched it more than 30 times. End of quote. Walking in the footsteps of the Messiah and with a thinly veiled comparison with Moses, a man is soon to come who believes himself to be the literal, physical, spiritual reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Charles, the Pope in the Protestant Vatican. Westminster Abbey, or more correctly, the Collegiate Church of St. Peter, was designed after St. Peter's in Rome. The abbey has been dedicated to St. Peter himself in precisely the same way as its Vatican equivalent. The abbey's stones, relics, and icons tell a story of English history covering a period of more than nine centuries. It is the world's greatest Christian temple that symbolizes the relentless struggle between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. Over 3,000 famous people have been buried within its walls. Apart from Edward V and Edward VIII, every sovereign has been crowned in it since 1066. To the English church, this temple is what Solomon's temple was to Israel. Every sovereign crowned in this abbey is crowned and anointed with oil in precisely the same way as David and Solomon and the ancient kings of Judah. These British monarchs actually believe they are Christ's representatives and regents here on earth, just like the Pope. The chapter house of Westminster Abbey was used as a meeting place for the King's Great Council in the 14th century, where great feudal lords, powerful knights, free men, and burgesses met. The commons were summoned to this house, and from this famous location, the English Parliament and parliamentary system evolved. Around the inside walls of the chapter house are some notable paintings depicting scenes in the Book of Revelation, including the Last Judgment, the Great Beast, the Lamb and His Company, the Whore of Babylon, the War of Armageddon, and the New Jerusalem. Perhaps the choice and location of these prophetic paintings is not just a coincidence. The Jerusalem chamber in the abbey has special significance for Protestants and the English Bible. Here, the committee met that was responsible for the authorized King James Version of the Bible published in 1611, as did those who worked on the Revised Version, 1881 to 1885, revised again, 1946 to 1952, the New English Bible, 1961 to 1970, and the Revised English Bible with the Apocrypha, 1970. Westminster Abbey is strictly known as a royal peculiar. This is the sovereign's church. When Henry VIII broke with Rome, he broke with the Pope as head of the church, but not spiritually with St. Peter. As Britain gives up her sovereignty and the Protestant church rapidly apostatizes and develops closer relationships with Rome, like a dog returning to its vomit, the Pope or his representatives may very well regain their former power over the English church, or vice versa. Around 1990, the Protestant King James Bible on the Great Lectern of Westminster Abbey was replaced with the spurious Roman Catholic-inspired Revised English Bible with Apocrypha, much to the chagrin of Protestant fundamentalist Christians. This blasphemous act was symptomatic of a greater evil taking place in the mind of the sovereign. A slight digression, ladies and gentlemen. At the time, the sovereign was Queen Elizabeth II. To continue. Each year, the Commonwealth service is held in the Abbey and is attended by the Queen, Prince Charles, and the Commonwealth heads of government. Traditionally, as part of the service, each representative has been required to read a portion of Scripture from the Bible. Since about 1990, the Queen has permitted the Commonwealth heads of government to read passages of script from their own books of religion, now including the Quran. King James, who is buried in the Abbey, would be turning in his grave if he could hear what is happening. Two great inscriptions may be found in the Abbey that epitomize the contrast between truth and error in the church. The first can be found on the memorial tablet of William Tyndale, 1490 to 1536. Who translated the Holy Scriptures into the language of the English people. Before he was burned at the stake in 1536, praying, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes," he said, "There is no other way into the kingdom of life than through persecution and suffering of pain and of very death after the example of Christ." The second inscription is written upon the wall above the high altar as follows. "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." The last words of Revelation 11:15, "And he shall reign forever and ever," are missing. Both the Pope and the British monarch claim to be ruling on the throne of David. They both claim to be Christ's descendants and supreme visible representatives on earth. They both claim to be ruling over the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God on earth. and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. What an apt description of the leaders of the apostate church. One Roman Catholic horn and one Protestant horn on a beast that looks like a lamb but speaks as a dragon. Charles, the covenant man. The covenant mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that is prophesied to be confirmed with many for 1 week, possibly a week of 7 years, is probably the Jerusalem covenant. Time will very soon confirm if it is or not. On Jerusalem Day, May 19, 1993, the completed covenant, after having been sent around the world for 1 year for signatures of approval, was presented back to Israel's president, Ezer Weizmann, for safekeeping. The covenant was signed by the Speaker of the Knesset, Prime Minister, President of State of Israel, Chief Rabbi Sephardi, Chief Rabbi Ashkenazi, Mayor of Jerusalem, and many others of the most important dignitaries in Israel. Contrary to the fact, God has already made an everlasting covenant with his chosen people, Israel, Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, and he has promised, I will never break my covenant with you, Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, and he has commanded Israel not to make a covenant with anybody else, Exodus chapter 23, verse 32, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2, Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. This new man-made covenant is an abominable addition to the Word of God. In spite of the fact God has reserved Jerusalem exclusively for his name and his name only, these disbelieving Jews have entered into a covenant with death. The last part of the Jerusalem covenant says, each and every nation will live in it by its own faith, for all the nations will go forward, each with its own divine name. We shall go in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And in this spirit, the Knesset of the State of Israel has enacted a law that places holy to the peoples of all religions shall be protected from any desecration and from any restriction of free access to them. Great judgment is to come upon Israel for compromising and disobeying the commandments of the Lord. Still greater judgment is in store for those Gentile nations who are attacking the people of God. Israel, and indeed the entire world, is to enter a time of travail. The scriptures have prophesied a time is soon to come when the Lord shall make Jerusalem a cup of trembling for all nations. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. Gradually, the birth pangs will get stronger and stronger. The Jerusalem Covenant is precisely the sort of document that could be confirmed by a Roman prince. According to the Jerusalem Post, on June 1st, 2000, Israel formally became an associate member of the European Union. That bears repeating, ladies and gentlemen. According to the Jerusalem Post on June 1st, 2000, Israel formally became an associate member of the European Union. The stage is now being set for the prince of a revived Holy Roman Empire to bring peace to the Middle East after a terrible time of chaos. Only after everything else fails will he reluctantly step forward. Of course, he will be worshipped both by Jew and Arab alike as the world Messiah, the hero Maximus of the global Colosseum. Charles, father of the children of the world, Hitler Youth, and the Prince's Trust. Psalm 146, 3. Psalm chapter 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Hitler disbanded all previous youth organizations and replaced them with his own Hitler Youth, Hitler Jugend, HJ. This was the principal instrument of Nazi socialist education and pre-military training from which Hitler wanted to create a youth which was as tough as leather, as hard as Krupp steel, as quick as greyhounds. The state education institutions held a grip on citizens from childhood. All children were taught to think nothing but German, to feel German, and to behave German. The Führer wanted a race of pure Aryans. Literally, the word Aryan means a noble lord of the soil. German youth had been dragged up through the high unemployment during the Depression, which led to suicide and despondency. Hitler gave them work and a meaningful purpose for living. He encouraged young people to help old ladies cross the street safely, have a community spirit, and generally help others in need. This gave them a pride in themselves and a hope for living. Hitler Youth was divided up into sections with Bahn or district numbers. Each section offered a special service. For example, there was the Hitler Youth Flight Training Section, the Landjahr Hitler Jugend, carried out environmental, agricultural, and other land duties. To help foster pride in their divisions, many units featured names of honored Nazis like Captain Berthold, a distinguished flying ace, or Horst Wessel, a famous martyr. Under these alluring circumstances, it was easy for a naive youth to receive the Silver Eagle of Jupiter as his badge of allegiance and sleeve insignia. In his ignorance, it was even easier to give his heart and soul to the devil and worship the Führer. Hitler Youth, however, was just schoolboys' stuff compared to what was to come. About 40 years later in Britain, during the early 70s to early 80s, Prince Charles founded the Prince's Trust with the desire to help disadvantaged young people find employment and training. The objects of the trust reflected Prince Charles' passionate desire that Britain should have a system of national community service, not only a military service to help young people gain self-discipline and motivation. And ladies and gentlemen, one more digression here. If you word search the word communitarian, you will discover that the sovereign of Britain now, the sovereign of perfidious Albion, is a hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool, Nazi socialist communitarian. Just word search the word communitarian. And learn for yourself what I'm describing to you in shorthand here, basically. You have to do your studies to catch up on all this stuff. Since its inception and very humble beginnings, the Trust, and this was written 23 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, so just add 23 years of development since this description. Since its inception, the Prince's Trust and the very humble beginnings, the trust has now grown into the biggest voluntary seed corn finance operation on earth. Its multicultural global youth programs in education, training, life skills development, and job creation are now by far the most outstandingly successful in the world. As a charitable trust, it deliberately keeps a low profile in the public arena. In other words, not very many people are aware of it. Behind the scenes, however, it is a different matter. Now funded by national and international big business sponsorship and growing like wildfire, its Youth Business Initiative operates in 16 different countries. The British division alone has over 500 permanent staff and over 8,000 volunteers. This is absolutely insidious for Americans that threw off some of the freedom of these British monsters of iniquity that have been hell-bent for total and complete world domination, no matter how many people they have to starve to death and murder and swindle and deceive. Just ask the Irish and the falsehood about the Irish potato famine, where they extracted food from Irish, of all kinds of food, beef, mutton, all of the crops, hogs, you name it, and exported them into London so that they could get fat on the starvation of the Irish people as they starved the Irish people almost into submission. And they tried to do it to us Americans as well. Fight back against this evil with every word you speak, ladies and gentlemen. It's necessary, and it's necessary now. The first overseas branch of the Prince's Trust was launched in New Zealand by Countess Mountbatten, with video link messages from HRH Prince Charles on July 17, 1995. Being the Trust's guinea pig for the world, New Zealand's four-year experiment has targeted youth in the 11 to 25-year-old age bracket. A strategic alliance between the Trust, big business, and the government has been formed. Commencing January 1st, 2001, the trust programs are planned to be gradually implemented by government departments, including the police and the military. During early 2001, a national advertising campaign is scheduled to begin. Towards the end of 2001, a big international television advertising promotion is planned to commence from New Zealand with a 24-hour international rock concert, Party in the Park. The plan is to telecast this concert live by satellite to the youth in every nation on Earth. Among the chief sponsors are global telecom companies. Another digression, ladies and gentlemen, it was Adolf Hitler that wrote in Mein Kampf about getting the minds and souls of the children, and then the women would follow, and then the men would follow after. So Prince Charles is essentially following the blueprint that Adolf Hitler laid out in Mein Kampf. In other words, Prince Charles, now King Charles, is a Nazi. He's a hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Nazi. Stand against this evil, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's only mitigation now. The war's already underway. But there will be less people die if you stand against this evil falsehood, this evil tyranny, this evil British tyranny. The aim is not to develop young people into good German citizens to respect the fatherland as did Hitler. Rather, now, the goal is totally global in character. Its one primary objective is designed to convert the youth of the world into good world citizens and members of one united family of nations, of course, with the help of a benevolent family father at its head. Literally, Jupiter means father who helps. When Prince Charles was invested Prince of Wales on July 1st, 1969, he was given the gold ring, two dragons of gold clutching an amethyst. The ring officially symbolizes that the prince is wedded to his country and is the father of her children. As the Prince of Wales expands his trust throughout the world, his oath of office dictates he must become the father of the children of the world, Mother Earth. The United Nations-sponsored laws, arising from the UN Convention Charter on Rights of the Child, are being implemented with one sole purpose in mind: to surreptitiously transfer the biblical God-given rights of parents over their children directly to the Prince of Darkness, the devilish Führer, Father. John chapter 8, verse 44, explains that the devil is a father. He is a substitute of our true Father in heaven. Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He hath seen me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John chapter 14, verse 9. Apostate Jews and Christians could well heed Jesus' warning, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 to 10. Since 1725, the chapel of King Henry VII in Westminster Abbey has been the chapel of the Most Honorable Order of the Bath. This order of chivalry goes back to the Middle Ages. The name of the order is derived from the ancient practice of ceremonial bathing before the reception of knighthood. It is a Masonic witchcraft practice that substitutes genuine Christian baptism. the Prince of Wales, now King of Great Britain, alias Perfidious Albion, is Grand Master of the Order. Once again, this was written 23 years ago. The Prince of Wales is Grand Master of the Order of the Bath, that is. Jesus' whole ministry was to children. Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." John chapter 18, verse 3. He continued, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." John chapter 18, verses 6 to 7. Judas hanged himself. Hitler committed suicide. What now is to befall that man of sin who is soon to betray the children of the world? Ladies and gentlemen, this ebook, this book online, is located on my website, genuinechristianitynow.com, within a posting called "A Message to Israel." That link is contained within the posting, "A Message to Israel." It was posted on the 14th of October. This entire book needs to be read by one and all, because forewarned is forearmed. Please do pray for my safety. Pray for your family's safety. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that this message will go out far and wide in order to mitigate the damage that will be done from here on out by King Charles of Great Britain, alias Perfidious Albion. His world war is underway now, and although it has only been declared provincially through one of his subordinates, Benjamin Netanyahu, it is underway. So pray for knowledge and wisdom. Make sure you care and love your children as you should, and protect them from this evil of our day. Teach them to war in the spirit in order to defeat those that are warring in the flesh. The only way to defeat the flesh is in the spirit. And this pretender of decency, Charles Windsor, is deceiving so many people and causing so much death worldwide that he needs to be understood, exposed. He needs to be called to repentance. Repent, wicked sinner, King Charles Windsor, and come to a knowledge of the truth. Read the original King James Bible that your ancestors brought into existence very meticulously and very carefully. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. This will be posted on my website to re-listen to. Thank you for listening.